Congressman. Good morning. Our next speaker serves as Executive Director of Iowa Safe Schools, a nonprofit which works to create safe, supportive, and nurturing learning environments and communities for youth through education, outreach, victim services, and advocacy efforts. Under Nate's leadership, Iowa Safe Schools is now one of the largest statewide LGBTQ organizations in the country. He's a sought-after speaker on school climate, culture, and LGBTQ issues around the country, and he and his best dog friend, Lucy, live in Des Moines. Please welcome to the stage, Nate Monson.
Those of you who don't know, Mark is our registrar at Iowa Safe Schools, and he kept teasing me this week about my introduction and how he's going to talk about my dog. So thank you, Mark. But I do want to take a quick second, and I think we all need to congratulate First Friday Breakfast Club. I didn't realize $250,000. That's a lot of money. And so, Jonathan, everyone, I think we all need to thank you for all your hard work raising those dollars. You know, also thanks to the, and congratulations to all the scholars. I know that $3,000 does go a long ways. It's a lot of money to be able to provide for your education. I know some of you, and I know you're all going to do amazing work, and your parents should be so proud of you, of you receiving this award. It's a competitive process. You know, nothing's ever free in life, and you know, the scholarship is one of those that you competed for, and you deserve it. So. Congratulations to all of you for that. Now, I've been in my role, I just finished my 11th year with Iowa Safe Schools, and so I started my 12th, and I've seen quite a bit of change over over past decade. Started in 2007, fresh out of college, and it was right after the state passed our state's anti-bullying law and we extended civil rights to include gender identity and sexual orientation. And at the time, Iowa was the 10th state to have gender identity included in our non-discrimination law, which was a huge achievement for us. And I started kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and I think, you know, we're gonna make some change happen, exciting things, we just got this done. And when you start in a position like that, a lot of people kind of moved on is what it felt like. You know, one of the first meetings I got to go to was with this national organizer from a national organization. If you do nonprofit work, when national groups come to town, they like to throw in that word national, like I keep saying that, because they like to feel important and all that. But they came to town, and we're going to have a little meeting, and on this whiteboard, they started writing, what other issues do we need to work on in Iowa and all this stuff? And at the center of it was marriage. And us representing LGBTQ youth kept talking about things like, well, homeless youth is a huge issue. 40% of all of our youth in this country that are homeless are LGBTQ. That's a problem. We know that conversion therapy still exists. We know that suicide rates, 7 to 10 to even 15 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual and cisgender peers. That's a problem. But marriage was front and center. And when I said, why are we focusing so much on marriage? Granted, it's great, recognition for your partner, there's immigration issues, there's a lot of benefits to marriage, but also, why can't we talk about some of these other things? Well, the answer I got back was, do youth vote? And do they donate? And so that was kind of our experience for a number of years. We would not receive any grant funding. It was all marriage. Even today, nationally, our conversation is on marriage. We're talking about wedding cakes. And for me, I've been in this job, like I said, for 11 years, going on 12. And I've seen what happens when we ignore what's happening for our queer youth. We use the term queer youth experience in our work. And we use the term queer, I know for some that might feel uncomfortable, but we use that because it's more encompassing. The students we serve don't identify as gay or lesbian or bisexual anymore, really. They identify as queer or none of the above or agender, or there's a lot of different terms out there now that they're identifying as, or nothing at all, I just like whoever I like. And so we use queer as kind of an all-encompassing term for them. And so for that queer youth experience for us as an organization, I can remember all the different stories involving students and their experiences, what happened. There's one time, you know, in 2013, we were teaching a class. A lot of what we do is workshops with educators. Teaching a class with a bunch of educators, and I get a call about, oh, you have to do a news story, do a quote kind of thing, because a student had completed suicide in central Iowa, a 16-year-old gay student. So I do the quote, do the story, and, you know, at the same time, it gets frustrating doing this work because, again, we're talking marriage. And there's a lot of ads and things on that, and I'll go to the national groups and I'll say, we just had a kid kill himself. Why aren't we talking about this? Why aren't we putting money in ads and trying to fight this? No, they don't donate, they don't vote. Another story, I remember this, just vividly getting these calls. This one student who was killed in Waterloo, Cedar Falls area, was called a faggot when he was murdered. Brutally killed. And I said, that's a problem. And we did, as a community, we did a rally. We did our little candlelight vigil. We all went home. That's a problem. And then Kadari Johnson in 2016, and looking at Senator McCoy on this, because I remember that happening. I went to Burlington, talked to him, this happens. I told Senator McCoy, who thankfully we had you to voice Kadari's story in the Senate floor. And then it was kind of treated as, don't talk about it. No, that's not a hate crime. There's this kind of weird thing that happened in the news. And what did we find out in the trial? You were right all along of what you said in the Senate floor. But what we're not talking about is, why aren't we adding gender identity to the state's hate crimes law? That's not some giant push. That's not some big rallying point. It's just kind of forgotten about. And that queer youth experience, we just kind of schlep off. And I looked at the data because I was interested, you know, because I hear from a lot of folks, things are getting better, right? They're getting better. We're having Will and Grace's back, right? That means we're getting better, right? You know, Queer Eye's back. Yeah. That's great. Yes, that is wonderful. And they are great shows, and they're hilarious. And I'll watch them. I get it. But when we look at the data, when I started in 2007, nationally, the National School Climate Survey that GLSEN does, 60% of our students reported they did not feel safe going to school, of LGBTQ students. 2015, which is their latest survey, it was only 57% reported they didn't feel safe at school. A 3% drop. Woo! At the same time, though, because of our focus on marriage, recognition of same-sex relationships and couples, yes, that's skyrocketing. Yes, that's important. But we're forgetting some folks back here. We still have that 40% identifying as homeless, the suicide rates. Actually, the CDC reports that LGBTQ youth experience everything bad we don't want for students higher than their heterosexual and cisgender being non-trans, peers. Everything bad, including LGBTQ youth are less likely to eat their vegetables and drink water every day. Yes, that is a fact. We have a problem here. And as someone who has struggled through, and people say, well, go to the national funders, I fought those battles, and they're losing battles. And so I believe in kind of a Maxine Waters quote, Congresswoman Maxine Waters quote, where she says, if they don't invite you to the table, pull up a folding chair. And so that's what we've done as an organization. We've literally pulled up a folding chair to the table, a lot of different tables, and we've grown as a result of that. We've interjected ourselves into this. So the organization was me from 2007 up until, I'm looking at Mark, about 2014, I think. Yeah, was it 2013 or 2014? 2014. And about 2013, 2014 is when we started our Safe Schools Academy. So that's our online and in-person academy of, we call them the Wicked Topics. So schools, educators have to do license renewal credit. And they always want to do things like classroom management or very easy classes, and I don't believe in doing anything easy. And so we do the wicked topics. Like, we talk about not just bullying, not just harassment issues, but we have one called Black Lives Matter. We have a class on immigration. We have a class on refugee students. We have a, because there's an intersectionality that's happening amongst our queer youth. You know, as we're traveling the state and talking to what's going on for our students, yes, they have friends who are immigrants who are gay, who fear for their lives being deported because they don't know what's going to happen in their home country. Or maybe they're homeless as a result of their family being deported. There's so many different intersections of what's happening for these students. So we started this little academy, and it's grown to, I mean, thousands of educators every year receive credit through the work. And so we brought on Mark to help support that and help kind of manage that efforts. Then in 2016, Congress actually did something right for once. They appropriated too much money into victim services is what they did. They did that was their oopsie doopsie for the year. They put more money than what they usually do into something. And it's a good thing. It's a good oopsie doopsie. And they put so much money that Iowa was able to expand their victim service programs, which was important because victim service programs were being very much starved. Victim service meaning victims of a violent crime. So that would be someone who's victimized by sexual assault, domestic violence, survivors of homicide. So Kadari, that we mentioned, you know, mentioning in Burlington, the students at the GSA there, for example, would be considered a survivor of homicide. And bullying as well is one of those issues. So they released the grant, and we got the email, and I was like, crime, what does that mean? You know, I don't understand all this. And emailed back and I said, would kind of the experience of LGBTQ youth count as a victim of a crime? And they said, yes. And I went, oh my. So we applied and we received some dollars that brought on Becky, who is our GSA coordinator, as well as Joshua Merritt, who's our advocate, our victim services advocate. So over the course of 2016, I'm very proud of this and the staff there at Iowa Safe Schools, because Becky built the GSA network to include 110 GSAs in the state. 110, and a lot of them are at the middle school level. Can you imagine that, being out in middle school, being out and proud, carrying a pride, they carry pride flags, they wear them as capes, it's great. Little gay superheroes running around the state. But it's very cool. And then Josh being able to support them through a variety of ways, including our affirming resource library. So students request a book, we send it, an affirming book. We, no questions asked, you type in your address, we'll ship it off. And it's the right thing to do. So we went through that. 2017, we brought on Scott Helt, who's our Director of Development and Communications, who helps kind of build that infrastructure up a little bit more and get the message out. And then in 2018 here, I'm very proud, we have Rick Tenenbaum here. There's Rick. Say hi to everyone, Rick. There you go. So Rick just graduated from Grinnell, and she's going to be working with college campuses, because we define youth through the federal definition, which is through the age of 24. And after Rick, now we're going to be hiring a director of ed to have 7 full-time staff and then some other growth here. And why we do all this, though, every day is the stories of our students that we serve. You know, I tell the staff all the time, I have a soft spot for the kids, and so if you ever need anything, just say when the students wants it. I don't, you know, even if they're like, oh, we should all go out for drinks or something. Oh, the students really want us to. All right. All right. But our work is about, one, affirming their identity. And you'll see us at Pride and everything else, stop by our booth. We have a bunch of flags. We have a bunch of silly shirts from Ray Gunn. And it's kind of, you know, kind of goofy a little bit, but it's also, we're affirming who they are. Like, you're great, you're wonderful, just the way you are. And we're gonna fight for you every day. And two, the other part is we have to make the experiences of queer youth front and center. It is just as important as marriage. We have students that can't even get to the age of 18. This is just as, if not more, important. We should be running ads, we should be funding this, we should be fighting every day for all the work, the holistic work around this. That includes our homeless shelters. That includes maybe our after-school programs, whatever it takes to help our students. And you know, policy-wise, we got a ways to go here in Iowa, too. You know, I think we hung our hat on the ring for a while, you know, after marriage, and said we're really moving ahead, and we're first, we're number three. Really, we have a lot of work to do. We're running behind banning conversion therapy, gender identity not being our state's hate crimes law. We don't have inclusive sexual education for LGBTQ individuals, which, by the way, that is a controversial, I can tell you. I don't know, have you all heard of the governor's conference, that little shindig we put on? And First Friday's been a great supporter and ally of that event since its inception. So it's up to 1,500 students that come to our little show. And a couple years back, we always have done this. We have an inclusive sex ed session. Students can ask anything they want because you should be able to. It's America, right? And a student asked a question about sex, and what happened was, for a year, and again, looking at Senator McCoy, that's trying to get this right, for about a year, we had the oversight committees in the House after us. They threatened to subpoena me. We made Fox News. That was fun. all because we believe students have every right to ask a question about their identity. And I got to tell you, though, it was a lonely fight. That was a really lonely fight because we had people who were allies and friends that said, you need to apologize. And I'm thinking, apologize for what? The idea that students can be themselves? We're not going back in the closet, folks. We're not. I have no interest in that. And I don't think our students do. I don't think anyone does. So we're going to fight for what we believe in. And we called their bluff on the subpoena and everything, and it magically went away. That was kind of interesting how that happened. But we still are fighting these kinds of fights, something that seems so simple as inclusive sex ed. And so we have to keep holding our politicians' feet to the fire on this, too. I gotta tell you, we did a Rainbow Forum this year, the first kind of gubernatorial LGBTQ forum we hosted. We're all excited, brought all the Libertarians and all the Democrats together. For some reason, that other party just didn't reply. I don't know, I kept inviting them. And, you know, it was interesting to get everyone's perspectives, and everyone seems very supportive. But I think it's more than just saying, yeah, I'll sign a ban on conversion therapy. I need a little bit more than that out of you. I need you to show up to the governor's conference. I need you to meet with our students. I need you to hear their stories. I need you to march in the Pride Parade. That's important. You should be marching. Whoever the nominees are for the, you know, election, if they're not at Capital City Pride marching in front and center, we got a problem. And we need to be holding their feet to the fire and say, we got a problem here, folks. Because they should be with our community. All the political parties should be. If we want to raise up these issues. So, you know, our little, like Sarah, little organization, but it just keeps expanding. And it's expanding a lot thanks to a lot of you. I mean, quite frankly, a lot of you paved the way. I like to say to some of the student groups that I meet with, you always recognize those people who built the table, who set the table, and who invited you to the table. And yeah, we're running in with a folding chair trying to get, you know, a spot there. But a lot of you built the tables that we sit on today. A lot of you helped set that table and build that experience. And, you know, I honor and I recognize that. And because a lot of you and a lot of your support, whether that's for events or other activities, we're able to do some very cool things. Not next week, it's the week after, week of June 11th. We're hosting our first summer camp. Yeah, we're hosting a gay camp. I mean, come on, like, we're calling it Pride Camp, and it's not your typical gay camp, that's literally on the shirt. for students 14 to 18, and, you know, we're trying to take back those experiences that I think a lot of LGBTQ youth have been robbed of. You know, a lot of us, could you imagine going to a summer camp and being just out and proud, and there's pride flags everywhere, and we're doing a drag show? And could you imagine? No, we could have never imagined that. But we're doing it here in Iowa. And it's just such an exciting thing to see that change, those out and proud students. I mean, we're supporting students in middle school and even elementary level. I got to speak to a group of elementary students. Their class project was LGBTQ rights, which I never thought I'd see an elementary school do that. And when I talked to the students, they all were like, yeah, my best friend's bisexual. Oh, I have two moms. It was just, what is, this is awesome. I mean, I think it's quite frankly, Bob Vanderplaats' worst nightmare right there. But it was just great. And they wanted to do LGBTQ rights. The students got to choose their topic because they're like, my friends are getting called names at school. And that's not right. So, I mean, all of this gives me a lot of hope that we can change that queer youth experience. But I need all your help. You know, it's not just us as an organization. It's not just, you know, some of the students we work. It's all of us here in the room and plus 10 on your invite list to come to this party. To fight for that, to do what we need to do. You know, if you're interested in supporting the work, I know Mark and Rick handed out some of our Spirit Awards cards. That's our annual gala. Love to see you there. It's important. We raise a lot of money for those books and Pride Camp scholarships and everything else, because we couldn't do it without all your support. And the next thing we need to do is holding our nominees and our candidates responsible and their feet to the fire. And then hopefully in November, we get some light at the end of this, past couple of years, and we can make some progress. We can ban conversion therapy. We can add gender identity. We can do more for our students. But it's gonna take all of us. The work's not done. It didn't end with marriage. That's great. I think marriage was a nice first step. But now we got to bring everyone else up to the front, too. So thank you all for all your work and supporting all these great students here today. Now, questions, I think, is the next part. Yeah.
Thank you, first of all, for coming to Camp. Rick Miller and I opportunity to represent the First Party Breakfast Club for the last several years, and it's a wonderful experience to go in and see our youth expressing themselves in that way. One of my major concerns is our foster care program and how staff is being trained in regards to LGBTQ issues and foster care.
Yep.
Also, one of the things that I was brought to my attention was that a good deal of foster care homes, it seems like the conservative religious community is being much more represented than the progressive community.
Yep.
We need to do a better job in trying to get our progressive churches off the ball. I wonder if you could comment on that a little bit.
Yes to everything you just said. I mean, when you talk to the foster care system and some of those recruiters that go out and help recruit families, they say the conservative faith communities will have us in every single Sunday, and they'll make big announcements, and they'll make sure that, I mean, they will make a big effort with it. And they said the more progressive churches, it's like you're lucky and Pat, because they're, I think they divide themselves too much on so many different issues, which are all important, but also you get a little splintered there. And we need to be doing a better job, progressive faith communities and those of no faith, to be engaged with the foster care system. Because, you know, I got a call 2 weeks ago from this is how messed up our DHS system is. A call from a friend whose sister works at DHS, and they said, yeah, we need to find a home for this gay teenager, and we don't want to send him somewhere else, but in Iowa, we don't ask questions. Like, in a state like Maryland, they actually screen people for conversion therapy. So if you believe in conversion therapy, you can't be a foster care parent. That's a policy we should have here in Iowa. But we don't. And so the friend says, this whole thing of a DHS worker is like, who do you have? Who can you find? And I was like, this is a mess that you are reaching out in this way for anyone that we can find. And so if you're able to, if you have a home, if you're able to do that, sign up to be a foster care parent, even if it's just a couple of youth a year. It's really important that we get some homes, because we have LGBTQ youth who they're not placing them, or they're placing them in incorrect homes, which does help feed that homeless problem. When I mentioned that homeless youth issue, the foster care system is identified as a feeder for it, because they run away, they don't want to be a part of it. And so it's really important that we have LGBTQ homes that we can in the system, but also our state needs to change our policy. We need to be screening for conversion therapy. We need to be doing other things. And you know, our good friends on the House Oversight Committee, good friends, they when they started talking about investigating DHS and foster care and all these things, I brought up, I was like, hey, this is a really easy policy if you want to like not look so anti-LGBTQ anymore. And they're nice and they pat you on the head and then they move on. And so I think we need to get some different folks elected probably to those committees to make some change. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Nate. It is our tradition to give a token of appreciation to our speakers, and this is a recording of the UN Gay Discourse.
Thank you so much.
Well, it is said that if you don't have a place at the table, you're probably on the menu. And Nate is involved in some very important work to make sure that we aren't on that menu, even if it requires a folding chair to get to the table. And we appreciate the work that you're doing, and the more you do it, the better. I will make a couple of other comments about upcoming meetings, and then we will turn to honoring our scholars this morning. Our next meeting is going to be July the 6th, right here, and our speaker, I don't know how to refer to him. It's either former Governor Tom Vilsack or former Secretary of Agriculture. I'm going to, before that meeting, figure out how you're supposed to address him, but he is to be our speaker in July. August is Terry Caldwell Johnson, who is president of the Des Moines School Board. And September is Brad Clark, who is the executive director of the Gill Foundation, that's going to be our speaker. So for those of you who would find any of those folks interesting to hear from, that will be the time and the place. With that, I will turn to Tim Schreck, that I want to thank for organizing our meeting this morning with all of our young scholars here. Yeah.
Two tall presenters, so next year we're going to get the tall podium. Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Schreck, leader of the First Friday Breakfast Club Scholarship Committee. Students, families, FFBC members and guests, welcome. We're really so happy you've joined us today to honor 8 outstanding students who have significantly promoted LGBTQ acceptance in their high schools and communities. Before we get to that, there will be a few thank yous. First, to our Scholarship Selection Committee members who put in many hours reviewing and deliberating. Excuse me. Several of us also presented the scholarships to the recipients at their high school senior recognition programs last month. So I'd ask, please stand and be recognized, committee members. Also this morning, we are honored by the presence of my co-presenter, Tanner Moat. Tanner is the first past recipient of the FFBC scholarship to participate on the selection committee, and we are really happy he has joined us. So while we are open to accepting donations year-round, we do want to thank the members of our fundraising committee who organized our annual scholarship fundraising event in February, and he worked year-round to make today possible. Please, fundraising committee members, if you could stand and be recognized. Go ahead. Every donor to the FFBC scholarship program is appreciated. Without you, we could not do this. Thanks to you, we raised over $24,000 this year. And every single dollar you donated is going toward the 8 scholarships being presented today. Whether your gift was $5, $100, or over $1,000, we truly appreciate it. Two last acknowledgments before we move on to the scholars. Trudy Hurd and her late husband, David, have been supporters of the First Friday Breakfast Club and our mission for many years. Today, Trudy joins us, representing the G. David and Trudy Holman Hurd Fund, which once again has provided funds for a full scholarship of $3,000. Also, earlier this year, Jim and Roxanne Conlon, leading members of the Des Moines Real Estate Committee, were looking to expand their engagement in the greater Des Moines area. They were so impressed by the mission and impact of FFBC that they also decided to sponsor a full scholarship of $3,000. Again, please show your appreciation for these amazing allies. And now, very soon, on to the awards. Today is the first time most of you will hear the names of these 8 fantastic students. I assure you, it will not be the last time.
Thanks. Well, hello. Like Tim said, I'm Tanner Mote of the FFBC Scholarship Committee. And in the interest of time, we are going to focus mostly on these wonderful students' efforts to promote LGBTQ acceptance and also fight homophobia in their high school and communities. But we also want you to know that they have been involved in many other activities, such as the National Honor Society, speech, debate, math club, choir, band, drama, student council, mentoring, numerous sports, farming, and extensive volunteering, to name a few. These impressive students have taken on leadership roles in a range of local, statewide, and national organizations, demonstrating a range of personal passions. And most of them also had part-time jobs or internships as well. It is all about these wonderful students today, so let's finally get to it. Students, when we announce your name, please come to the front of the podium as we share a few words about you. Once you are presented with your award, we will take a photo or two, and then you can head back to your seat. When we are finished with all the presentations, we would like all 8 of you to come back up to the front so that we can all receive your collective appreciation, and a group photo will also be taken. Parents and guests, you are invited at that time to also take photos. And as a special treat to you, you and your families are invited to join a tour of this amazing facility led by a member of the Hoyt Sherman Foundation staff. The tour will take place after our awards ceremony concludes. And now, on to the students.
Okay, first up, Lane Kunze. Lane grew up in Corydon, a small conservative town in southern Iowa. He knew he was gay in first grade, but also understood that people historically have not come out in towns like his. After going through some difficult times, including abuse, Lane found writing, and in his sophomore year, the courage and inner strength to come out as gay. In the process, he confronted and revealed his abuser. He rightly challenged discrimination by authorities at his school and started the Gay Straight Alliance at his high school. Not only was Lane accepted by family and friends, he was voted homecoming king last fall. Oh, and he has written 5 books, with 3 of them already published, and he was number 1 in his class. And we just found out Lane also received an internship with the World Food Prize and will be heading to Malaysia for the summer in about a week. So. Lane is this year's recipient of the Jim and Roxanne Conlan sponsored scholarship. He plans to attend Iowa State University and study biology and global systems. While his story is truly inspirational, the thing that impressed us most about Lane is that he is simply someone who wants to live where he lives as the full person he is. Lane is living that life. As he stated in his essay, "I have shown many people that being yourself will reward you with the best life." We could not agree more. Congratulations, Lane.
Marcella Anderson. Marcy Anderson stood out to us as a student focused on the issues and realities of gender fluidity. As she noted in her application, early in life, Marcy was not sure what she was. She just knew that she was not a girl in the traditional binary gender identification. From that early awareness, Marcy joined her school's GSA at Dubuque Hempstead to represent and support the genderqueer community. Her advocacy was delivered through a range of speeches, presentations, and poetry in the classroom, as well as public settings during her high school years. Marcy hopes to communicate about gender fluidity, using her words in a, quote, calm and digestible way. Her teachers see her as socially aware, hardworking, dedicated, and organized, but we see her as amazing. Marcy plans to attend Iowa State University for a degree in software engineering with long-term plans in the field of astronomy. Please give a hand to Marcy Anderson.
Logan Eden. Logan began her application essay with a simple sentence, "When I was younger, I always knew I was different." In time, inspired by media and cultural events, Logan came to understand that she was transgender. At the end of her junior year in high school, with the support of her parents, the administration team at Mount Air Community Schools, and Iowa Safe Schools, Logan came out as transgender female at an all-school assembly. She announced that she would be returning for her senior year as a female and has had an amazing final year of high school. In this past year, Logan has learned that she has to advocate to be who she is. We have dubbed this scholarship the unofficial community award for the year. And Logan is also this year's recipient of the G. David Hurd and Trudy Holman Hurd scholarship. The courage and determination Logan and her family demonstrated cannot be denied. In a school with a senior class of 47 students, not only was Logan accepted, she was elected to the homecoming court. And who in this room did not want that? Maybe just me. While there will always be bullies, the broader community of Mount Air has accepted Logan for who she is. Logan will attend Northwest Missouri State University with intentions of becoming a lawyer. We wish you all the best. Congratulations, Logan Eaton.
Hannah Mitchell. Hannah has identified as bisexual since her sophomore year in high school. That year, after experiencing a difficult bullying incident involving her and a transgender friend, Hannah became a strong advocate for the LGBTQ community in the Johnston Community High School system. She worked with the school's Gay Straight Alliance to educate the nursing staff in the district about transgender medical needs. Also, Hannah assisted in introducing LGBTQ history into civil rights curriculum at Johnston High. On a more personal level, she continued to share her experiences as a bisexual individual, knowing that more people become aware of issues faced by a community once they know someone in that community. Hannah will be attending the University of Iowa with a goal of working in the psychology field. She also intends to remain politically active, focusing on LGBTQ adverse issues such as conversion therapy and religious freedom legislation. Please welcome and congratulate Hannah.
Mercedes Doty. Mercedes is from Fort Madison and a graduate of Fort Madison High School. She and her friends started the Gay Straight Alliance a couple years ago, and this year Mercedes served as the president of the club with 25 active members. The GSA has become an integral part of the Fort Madison school community, promoting messaging about bullying, against bullying, and for acceptance of LGBTQ kids as equals. This young leader is dedicated to reducing bullying and to calling out the bullies, She insisted that school administration acknowledge LGBTQ targeting and take action, and makes it a point to address issues with individuals by asking, "What if it was you?" on the receiving end of marginalizing comments. Mercedes will be attending Capri College with the goal of becoming an esthetician and eventually a movie makeup artist. Her long-term dream is to have a home, a wife, a cat and a dog, and a couple of kids playing in the yard in a space that is truly their own. And what a lovely dream. Congratulations, Mercedes.
Thank you.
Dorothy Anderson. In a first for the FFBC scholarship program, we have a set of twin recipients. Earlier we met Marcy, and now we introduce to you all of you, Dorothy Anderson. Dottie stood out for her insistence on communication and connection among people, especially when it comes to understanding not only what it means to be LGBTQ, but also the entire spectrum of gender fluidity. In her junior year, she co-led her Gay Straight Alliance at Dubuque Hempstead High School. Dottie took the discussions beyond posters and public messaging to invite members to share their challenges, discuss their gender identity experiences, and feel safe in the GSA space. Dottie fiercely defies ignorance and, as her teacher stated, she will not tolerate the intolerant. Dottie plans to study biomedical engineering at the University of Iowa and continue to share her story around the world. Please give a round of applause to Dottie Anderson.
Bailey Vandekamp. Bailey was a standout student at Knoxville High School. Her activism was motivated early on by seeing the fear many felt about being labeled as gay, leading to ridicule and ostracism. She believes it is her responsibility to be as out as possible for those who are not or feel they cannot be open about their sexuality. Bailey understands that the most important element of any person's journey may be that first moment of self-acceptance and understanding. Bailey came out her freshman year in high school and helped change the environment at Knoxville High School without the safety net of a gay straight alliance. She simply was true to herself and became a safe space for many in her school, experiencing the uncertainties of self-acceptance along the entire LGBTQ spectrum. In college, Bailey plans to study economics and computer science. Let's congratulate Bailey Vandekamp.
Abby Eastman. Abby comes to us from Nevada and attended high school in Ames. Abby was a member of the Ames High School Youth Diversity and Inclusion Committee, which fights homophobia by addressing all discrimination. She was also a leader of Spectrum, the school's GSA. Abby created opportunities for interaction with the local Planned Parenthood chapter to access information about safe sex practices in the LGBT community. She also led a contingent of Ames High students at the annual Iowa Safe Schools Conference and was a member of the School Improvement Advisory Committee, which allowed for direct communication with the school board regarding LGBTQ student activity. Abby plans to attend the University of Iowa to study political science and international relations. This past year, she was the teacher's assistant in the AP Government and Politics class at Ames High. So we know that she's off to a great start in her future career. Congratulations, Abby Eastman.
Met our eight amazing students. So will all eight of the students please stand once again, and we would like for your parents and guests to stand as well. Let's show these outstanding students. already done it, but I'm going to read it anyway. So let's, we need to continue to show these outstanding students and the people who stood with them how much we appreciate and support them. Students, we're done. So please come up to the front for a few group photos. And just a reminder that you and your guests are invited to tour this lovely facility and learn about its amazing history. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your support. Have a great day and a happy Pride.
Is it on wheels?
It's on wheels!
It's on wheels.
Yeah.